This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is the Morning Run on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani here
with
me.
Good morning.
Good morning. 7:35, Monday, the 30th of May. Now, coming up in the next half an hour, we're going to be discussing all the biggest business stories of the day, including Wanda opening its first China theme park, WCT to monetize its assets, and is Supermax moving its headquarters to Hong Kong? We'll tell you more, but first let's start in Japan, where the Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is planning to propose a fiscal stimulus package of as much as 10 trillion yen, which is about $90 billion. Now, if you remember, this is just after he gave that warning at the G7 meeting that the global economy faces significant risks for another crisis.
Yeah, also he suggested that the consumption tax should be delayed. Recall that in 2014, when they introduced the consumption tax at the time, Japan went into recession. And this year in the first quarter, the numbers may look good from a developed markets viewpoint. They grew slightly just under 2%, but a lot of that came from government spending and not necessarily private spending. So the economy still needs some kind of a kickstart.
Yeah, but I'd like to question whether or not $90 billion stimulus is a big kind of stimulus, or it's a relatively small stimulus compared to, say, for instance, what other things that Abenomics have been spending.
I think that compared to the size of the economy, I mean, Japan is the third largest economy in the world with the GDP size of in the region of multiples of trillions. $90 billion may be quite small, and also under what Abenomics has spent, I mean, I think that is equal, if not surpassing, the QE spending in America. But I think this is needed because given the weak undertones of the economy, you need to send the right kind of signals.
You know, following Abe's comments at the G7, when he chaired that meeting, he made those comments, right? He said, you know, we're on the cusp of another global financial crisis. I was reading several other op-eds coming out after that, and they seem to think that that may have been a play in the Shinzo Abe Abenomics playbook, him kind of foreshadowing that he could delay the sales tax. So, you know, that could have been a justification comment to justify delaying the sales tax.
I think they're really in a conundrum because they need the sales tax to address the very high debt levels that they have. So if they're going to postpone it, then they got to think of some other ways to really address the debt. Perhaps, hopefully, the one of the arrows that are being fired will cause the corporates to make a lot of money and add more to Japanese revenue coffers.
You know, one thing about the Japanese debt problems, I don't think, however, that it is at the same level, say, for instance, at China's level. So while this debt problem is now on the rise, they might have to delay or not Shinzo Abe will probably delay the sales tax and the stimulus. All this comes into being whether or not it's like exactly what China is doing. But I don't know whether this kind of parallels could be the same in terms of magnitude.
Yeah, there is a sentiment that what China is doing is to prevent an implosion of whatever financial asset markets that they have, the stock markets, the property market, and there's a lot of shadow banking loans in China. Mm-hmm. Whereas Japan, while it has a very high debt level, is really trying to get its economy to grow, you know, with whatever slight 0.2-0.3%
whatever
kind of GDP. Whatever you can get.
Okay, 7:39 right now. And over in China, the largest private property developer there, the Wanda Group, they've opened up a theme park and they are trying to position themselves as a homegrown rival to Disney. So Disney is about to open its own resort in Shanghai. It's going to be the world's largest Disneyland next month, in fact.
This company is owned by Wang Jianlin, who's a richest man in China, worth just slightly under $25 billion. And he had some choice words for Disney. He said, Disney's one tiger is no match for a pack of wolves, implying that, you know, Disney is opening...
Mic drop.
Yeah, you know, implying that Disney is just opening one theme park in Shanghai, whereas he's going to attack China with many, many theme parks. And I don't know if that tiger reference is a reference to Winnie the Pooh, that, which is owned by Disney, right?
Tiger.
But Dalian Wanda is reported to actually be building about 15 to 20 theme parks. So I guess it does make sense for that one tiger notion versus a pack of wolves.
You know, that he's also saying that he doesn't understand how Disney could have spent $5.5 billion on a park which is similar in scale to his own park. They say they spent only $3 billion on it. So they're also kind of, you know.
I hope they don't skimp on security devices.
That was the first thing that crossed my mind. I hope that was not.
Roller coaster rides can be fast and dangerous.
Well, the other thing is, I'm curious to know. Okay, so Disney has a whole host of merchandising elements, right? They can sell everything from, I don't know, Snow White to Mickey Mouse to Captain America to Star Wars. But what does Wanda have? I mean, they're a property developer. Do they have the same kind of merchandising power that Disney will have?
I think they want to bring China's cultural references into their theme parks, and they may be able to appeal to some of the local visitors there. Also, I think the Disney park in Shanghai is one big theme park. It's a destination, like the destination for many Chinese. But the strategy that Dalian can adopt is that they can, I don't know if this is the right wordings to use, but neighborhood theme parks, right? I don't know. We like got neighborhood malls. We got main malls. That's one way they can. 10 to 15 parks all over China, it's going to be hardly neighborhood. But, you know, you get the drift of what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Right? They want to try to cater to the locality.
I see what you mean. With the growing middle class there, you've got the domestic tourist wallet. They want to cash in on that. But again, I really don't know whether, you know, it's going to be sustainable, because we have theme parks. You know, we have fun fairs here in Malaysia as well. How often do we say we want to go to a fun fair if it's not driven by, say, the latest Marvel movie or the latest Star Wars offering?
Yeah, right? And I think because of that whole merchandising aspect, Disney still has some sort of an upper hand in terms of merchandising or making money out of it.
So I read that apparently at this new Wanda theme park, they've ripped off Snow White. So yes. They had people dressed up as Snow White.
Not only that, they ripped off Kung Fu Panda as well, America. So I'm just wondering whether this is growth through some kind of ripping off. Wanda.
China's economy is built on that, isn't it?
But we covered a story a few days ago that China is now overtaking Silicon Valley because they have the mass market and they can get concepts to the market very quickly. You know, but going back to this idea of theme parks, could it be a new wave where these new media companies like Apple, you know, proposing to take over Warner Brothers, and their market cap is about $60 billion. Disney's market cap is about $160 billion. Today, a lot of these new media companies like Google and Apple are so many times bigger than these theme parks. So one strategy that Wanda could adopt is really, they might not have to make a lot of money in the short term, but if they create an ecosystem that is based on some concept of subscriber, right? I'm putting it in quotes now, then they can flip that, it's possible that they can actually flip that ecosystem. I mean, ownership of an ecosystem is so important these days.
Yeah, and if you go down south to Malaysia and Singapore, they already have that subscriber basis. Universal Studios is offering that subscriber basis. Legoland, for instance, also has that subscriber basis.
You mean they've
got
the ecosystem?
Yeah, and the ecosystem going on, Hello Kitty Land and so on. I think this might work. If they have that subscriber basis, it might possibly have that repeating customers.
But you're talking about a really formidable rival here in the form of Disney. The top two most popular theme parks in the world, Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea, and in the top 15 as well, Disney is kind of littered all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, how are they going to give Disney a run for their money? Perhaps the Chinese market is big enough, but they might start there and maybe move outside.
Having said that, there are many local type theme parks. Back home here, we have Genting, right? They have their theme parks. And Ocean Park in Hong Kong. There's a Happy Valley in Shenzhen, China. A lot of Happy Valley theme park. Dunia Fantasy in Jakarta.
Does Pesta Pulau Pinang count as a theme park? Because that was a theme park of my childhood.
Well, yes, but I guess it doesn't make it to the top 15.
7:45 right now. We'll be back with more business news after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.